Good morning. Today's scripture reading is Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. That's page 1160. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit of all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fiercely, as I should.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask you please to touch each one of us this morning. Help us to disconnect from the world and the pressures and remain connected to you and hear your voice. And may the Holy Spirit help us understand and learn and put into practice what we learn. In your blessed name I pray, amen. Yesterday morning, the subject at the men's breakfast was fear. Now, you would have thought, of all places, the men's breakfast would be a place where we wouldn't talk about fear. Because we are men, we are strong, and we are not scared of anything. That's how you would have thought, but you would be wrong. Because when I ask, is there anyone here who is not afraid, no one put up his hand, and everyone admitted that, yes, we all are afraid. Fear is part of life. As a matter of fact, fear is a matter of fact every day with every one of us. Lately, you hear of all kinds of devices to protect yourself. Besides the guns and the pepper spray and all that, there are little whistles, there are alarm systems. You go into a house and until they open the door, they will hear all kind of noises, unlocking the door, the chains being removed. And if you live in some European countries Greece, for example, I was talking to someone from Greece and said, you remember, and this person said, you remember when you were in Greece, we'd leave our doors open and anyone would be able to come in. Today we have to put bars and things. Why? Because we are afraid. We are afraid of aging. We are afraid of our face that is getting older. We are afraid of our tummy is growing. We are afraid of everything. And so we are under constant pressure and fear, and yet we don't want to admit it. But when it comes to spiritual things, I believe most Christians have no fear of the enemy and are not afraid of their spiritual walk because they have this false assurance that no problem, God is always there to defend us. But God has his own understanding. He understands. He created everything, even the thoughts are created by him. And so because he knows each one of us, he has provided enough material and protection gear and all kinds of things to protect ourselves. And he is there to help us. It's like joining the army. Just because a huge you belong to a huge army or a huge government, powerful government, it doesn't mean that you are safe. You are as safe as you protect yourself and defend yourself. And even then, you are not very safe. The human race has been living in a continuous state or warfare since creation. Satan and his evil angels never stop, even for a moment, their attacks against God's people, and especially those who have committed their lives to Jesus Christ. Even though many preach, teach, and believe that the Christian life and journey is easy and pleasant, the Bible teaches that the Christian life is one of constant conflict. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound very inviting. But Jesus himself, our Lord and Savior, said, if you want to follow me, do what? Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. No, this we don't preach, because if we do that, no one will join the church. And yet, in those countries where they are being persecuted, the evangelicals, the believers, the true believers, no matter what you want to call them, are growing by the millions. Take China, India, and other countries. The true believer is locked in a conflict with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and his angels are the enemy. The battle is against demonic power. But the dedicated Christian can have victory by using the special equipment Christ has provided. We are equipped to win, not to lose. But we must use the armor of God. In Ephesians 6, verse 13, we read, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Now, if we did not have to fight a fight, if we weren't in a conflict, if we did not have to fight the good fight and finish the race, why would the Bible tell us that we must be ready to fight at any time? In part one of this message, we looked at the armor of God and three of the pieces of armor. First was the belt of truth. Second, the breastplate of righteousness, living according to God's will. And I believe if we live in God's will, we will have no problems other than the attacks we receive from the devil. And third was fitted to bring the gospel of peace. But with only three pieces of equipment, the Christian would be only half dressed for battle. He or she needs the rest of the armor. The fourth item is the shield of faith. In Greek, the word is aspida. We need the aspida, the shield. And that shield is not a little shield like that. It's not like the police shield. It's a huge shield that starts from here to the knees, actually. The Roman soldiers used to have them. There are two things that we see here. That we are under attack by flaming arrows of the evil. We are under attack. Arrows are thoughts, acts, doubts, etc. Second, first was we are under attack. The second is that faith is the most important part of this armor. In verse 16 we read, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Faith is our spiritual shield. How would you put out those flaming arrows? How would you put out those attacks that come from the enemy of God? The enemy of God does not actually use real arrows, flaming arrows, because then you would say, oh. But he would use the word of God, as the devil did. And the enemy of God will appear to you as a respectable pastor, preacher, elder, Christian, an angel of light. And unless you have the spirit of discernment, you would not be able to discern whether it's coming from God or from the devil. And that is why we really need to be alert and on our guard. The problem today with Christians in general, and has been for a long time, is that we want to have the world and Christ at the same time. We want to have our excitement, our entertainment, and bring it into the church, because then if we have in the church a lot of entertainment, then kids will come and join us and people will join us. And if we could offer you now some coffee and we could offer you some donuts or something and you know, some good activity, it would be more exciting. And yet, you'd go home a little fatter and a little more rejuvenated by coffee, but your spirit will be dying. And that is why I believe it's very important for us. The source is the Satan, actually, is the source of unbelief and doubt. His favorite weapon is doubt. He actually started his dirty work at creation with Eve. He said to her, did God really say that you must not eat from any of these trees or any tree in the garden? Genesis 3:1. Actually, God never said that. And actually, today you will have all kinds of arguments against the Bible and against our faith and against our little differences. And the devil will be using our differences to fight the church. And the devil is doing such a good job. And when I meet other believers or Christians, sometimes the questions are so irrelevant to our spiritual state. They will ask me what kind of translation we use, what kind of doctrine we believe. Are we pre-male or amel or post-male or this male and that male? And they will ask you, are you a Calvinist? Are you Arminian? Do you speak in tongues? Do you heal people? The communion, how do you do it? And all this conversation goes on and the arguments go on, and at the end, when you are separated or you go home, you feel even worse now because you're confused and because the spirit is put out, actually, because I said something, because he said something, and we started not liking each other so much. These are the doubts that the devil sows in our daily life. The Bible says that faith is what overcomes. And I thought about it. I said, faith overcomes. Okay, I believe in God. So does that mean that I overcome everything because I believe in God? No, actually, and more I thought about it, more I was getting confused about my own statement. Faith overcomes. Okay, I believe in God. No, actually, what I believe the Bible means is when you believe in God, you believe that what He said is true. When you believe in God, and you believe that God is alive and God is in control, you know that everything you do is being watched. And if you believe in God, then you believe His words that for every sin we will be accountable. And if I really believe in God, I should also believe that He is in control. Therefore, no matter how much I worry about tomorrow, and I'm guilty of that, I worry about tomorrow, what's going to happen to my grandchildren, my daughters, my wife, all kinds of things, the church, and who's... And if I really, truly trust God 100%, not 99.9%. I wouldn't have to worry about these things. And yet we say that we believe in God, and we say that I have faith, and we say that we are members of a church, and yet we do the things that hurt God, and we do the things we shouldn't be going, and we do not do the things that He wants us to do. So what the Bible says is when it talks about faith, and that we have victory over faith, through faith, it does not mean that if I say I believe in God and really believe in God, that's fine. No, what it says is if you really believe in God, then you will do exactly as the directions are given to you. Because you believe in Him. And because you know that He is a just and holy God. As the believer puts the shield of faith in front of him, the flaming arrows of unbelief and doubt are kept away. Faith can overcome every attack of the enemy. Faith. Well, if I didn't have faith in my wife, then I would have big problems in my mind and in my heart, and doubts would rise. But because I have faith in my wife that she's not going to do something that is going to hurt me and my family, then I totally am relaxed with that. And if we believe in God and we have faith in God and we know that if we really follow Him and we reflect Him in our life, the devil will even stop throwing those arrows as much because he will know that we are protected by the faith, the shield of faith. Flaming arrows of pride, envy, worry, fears, lust. And you say, how are these things are jumping at me or the flaming arrows jumping at me? Well, yesterday I was trying to read something on the internet and I punched in what I wondered about. I put the verse in and it came out a little bit. But then next to it there were other stuff, all kinds of things. And I said, oh, this is what the flaming arrows are. Because instead of looking at the text, now I started looking at what that thing said. And that happens with television, or even when a mother was telling me, some time ago, that you can't even go to the movies for children anymore because they advertise other movies, and while you are trying to sort of look away, the child is not. So these are the arrows. I mean, you go to a church and instead of listening to the sermon, there are all kinds of other conversations going on and all kinds of gossip and stuff. And these are arrows, flaming arrows, that only faith in God and belief and trust in God will be able to protect you. The fifth item, peace, is the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation here refers to the assurance of salvation and the return of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, we read, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of our salvation as helmet. The assurance of our salvation is our helmet that is going to protect our head. And you say, I talk to my compatriots from Greece or even Armenians about eternal life, and when I talk to them about the assurance I have about my salvation, I'll say, how can you say that? Only God knows. Only God can decide. And so because they don't have that assurance of their salvation, they are being tortured. And eventually, because they are tortured, or because they don't want to think about hell, and because they don't want to think about a Christian and holy life, they sort of put away all those thoughts and sort of turn their backs to God. The helmet of salvation here refers to the assurance of salvation. The believer whose mind is fixed on Christ will not fall into Satan's traps. You do need a helmet. And I, thinking about helmets, I thought of football. Now, I don't know. They are big as they are. Big as they are, they put more stuff on them to protect them. And they have this helmet. And then construction workers. A visitor to a construction site cannot or is not allowed or should not be going into the construction area without a helmet. Why? Because the head is very sensitive. If a brick falls on the head, you are in trouble. Or a tool or someone falls. And if we are willing and forced, actually, to protect our heads with helmets, why we as Christians are not willing to do it? The helmet of our salvation. Now, you say the assurance of our salvation is a helmet. Yes, but how do I get it? Well, when you are saved, when you surrender your life to the Lord and you make Him your Lord and Savior, He gives you this helmet and says, this is the assurance of your salvation. Put it on and you'll be protected. Don't forget, though, you must live a life of a saved person. The blessed hope must be like a helmet to protect the mind and soul. Consider Paul's assurance in 2 Timothy 1:12. He says, because I know whom I have believed. Because I know whom I have believed. And we have the hymn. I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him till the end. God will never lose us. We are safe and secure in his hand. And yet, this is what has confused people among Protestants, among others. We cannot understand, it seems, that God is a sovereign God and he does whatever he wants. And yet, he is the God who gave the free will to Adam and Eve to sin if they wanted to. He could have not given them that. And because they've sinned, what happened? They died, spiritually at least, and physically after a while. And then God, who created the angels, he had made them perfect. And yet he gave them the free will. That's how we have the devil today. And because they had that freedom. And it's, yes, sometimes we can't understand some things, but we have to accept them because the Lord Jesus also said those things. The assurance of salvation enables us to stand against the enemy. Moody said, I never knew a person who was effective in the Lord's service who did not have the assurance of his salvation. And I thought of that. I never knew anyone to be effective in his service, in God's service, who did not have the assurance of his salvation. And I thought of it very carefully. And I said, it's like the doctor who does not believe in the medication he is prescribing, probably he is not taking it. Or the hired shepherd, because he doesn't, he is not responsible for the sheep, as Christ, the head shepherd, is. He is not really very effective. And unless we believe in what we believe, and we are persuaded, and we are 100%, we can never be very effective, even to protect ourselves. And so it is very important to have that assurance of our salvation. These pieces of armor are for the believer's protection. But we also need the offensive weapon in the armor. Number 6. The 6th item is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Christian must fight spiritual enemies with spiritual weapons. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, we read, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The Word of God is the only sword we need. God's Word has life and power. And thinking back in human history, we can remember, we can look back and see the Crusaders. They thought the fight God was talking about and the weapons were literal swords and all kinds of things. And what happened? They thought they could force people to become believers and Christians, and they went and killed people. But what Jesus did, he died on the cross for us. Instead of killing or punishing everyone who had sinned and everyone is a sinner, he died on the cross. But here then he gives us a sword. In 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, for once again, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we read, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The believer goes from victory to victory as he understands, memorizes, and obeys the word of God. Understands, memorizes, and obeys. I believe the problem today is that we understand, we memorize, but we do not obey. And that is why the churches are empty. That is why our lives seem to be empty. That is why our families are falling apart. That's why the divorce rate among Christians is very high. Because yes, we do understand. Yes, we do memorize, but we do not obey. And you go home today and you say, yeah, I heard the message. It was a good message, bad message, mediocre, could have been better. Whatever you say, and yet God has spoken to each one of us today. And we've heard it. And we may even remember some of it. But we have to obey. This was the weapon Jesus used against Satan when Satan came to tempt him. Every time Satan tried to tempt him, Jesus quoted the scriptures. First he said, it is written. Jesus said to him the first time. It is also written, Jesus said the second time. The third time, Satan attacked Jesus and Jesus used the sword again and again. He said, away from me, Satan, for it is written. Matthew 4. The power of God's word over the enemy brings victory. Not how educated we are, not how many theological seminaries you have diplomas from, not how well you are trained, but is the word of God that brings victory and not your education and your wisdom. Seventh, we read in the Bible, verse 18, is the power of the Spirit. You may have all this. You may have all the pieces you need. You may have the sword, and yet you need power. You need power. The armor and the weapon are not sufficient to win a battle. There must be energy in the soldier. A dead or weak soldier cannot fight in a battle. He needs strength, energy. This energy comes from prayer. We use the sword of the Spirit and we pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the energy, the power we need to win a battle. This morning I came to this church, and I realized the air conditioning was off. Oh, I said, my goodness, we turned it on yesterday. How come it's off? I went there on the fuse box, and the fuse was off. The circuit breaker had flipped to off position. And I thinking about it, we spent a lot of money for it, and we waited for it, and it's ready to go, and yet you need power. You have the most sophisticated television or you have whatever you have, and yet you need power. You may have the best looking car in the world, and yet you need power. You may have the best looking guns and aeroplanes, whatever, but you need power. You may have a government, and yet you need power. That government officials must have that power. It's like the valley of dry bones. When the prophet spoke to those dry bones, thousands of them, and those dry bones were there scattered, and I mean, any human mind would freak out, as kids would say, by looking at these bones. And yet God went to him and said, okay, now, I tell you what, go and speak to these bones. I'm sure the prophet looked somewhere to hear God's voice. Where is it coming from? What is he telling me? How can I tell to these dry bones, wake up? And yet God helped him, and it happened. And these dry bones stood up, and the bones found each other's place, and they formed the skeleton, and then flesh and skin came on them, and they were ready to go, and yet they were dead. There was something missing. Those dry bones and the skin and everything were there, and yet the power was missing. They had to be plugged into the source of power. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they started going. That's how many of us are. Many Christians, including us, often we are like this tree or this plant. Look good, impressive, and yet dead, nothing. And then we wonder why we are not so happy. We need power. The Word of God and prayer are the weapons or resources God has given us to overcome the enemy. The Christian believer must watch and pray. Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 14, verse 38, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. It says, watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. And you know what? We don't watch and we don't pray. In the contrary, we go and look for that temptation, and we sort of flirt with the temptation a little bit, and then say, God, help me. But, you know, why put yourself in that position? Why set up yourself for trouble? Well, David is a good example, and yet you're a good example. I'm a good example. How do you fight your battle? Do you have and use the full armor of God for protection? Do you have and use the spiritual weapons, the Word of God, to fight the spiritual enemies? Use them and have victory. If you do, then you will be able to say with Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. I believe in my heart that you have spoken to me. And I hope and pray that you have spoken to everyone here this morning. Lord, we would like to connect and remain connected to you and have this joy of our salvation for the rest of our journey on this earth. Help each one of us. Strengthen us. I know that we are tempted daily. I know that some of us may be going through a difficult period of time in our family situation, in a job situation, in a relationship situation, at work, in the church, health, And all these things, Lord, may weaken us. But I know that the assurance of our salvation, the assurance and the belief and the faith in you will keep us going. And even if we walk in the valley of death, we know that you are with us. Please strengthen each one of us. In your blessed name, I pray. Amen.